How many is glad to be in the house with the Lord tonight? Feels good in this place tonight, amen? I do believe that I have something for you from the Lord tonight. We're going to be turning to Psalms chapter 119. We're going to begin reading in verse 81. It says, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I have become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy laws. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They hadst almost consumed me upon earth. But I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after the loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." I'm going to hang my hat on verse 83. It says, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." Let's go before the Lord in prayer tonight before I go any farther. Dear Lord, we come before you. God, we thank you. Jesus, we love you just for another opportunity, oh God, just to come into your house and to magnify your name. Lord, just to be in your presence again, oh God, pour out your spirit in this place tonight. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Jesus. Help us to leave not the same way that we came in, oh God, but with something different about us. Lord, help us to live a life that is pleasing to you, oh God, to follow your commandments, oh God, and to love you with all of our hearts, to seek your kingdom first, and everything else will be added unto us. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today we really are a blessed people. There's many things to be grateful for. Many of us, all of us, I'm sure, we all have a roof over our heads and shoes on our feet. We had a way to get here tonight, and I don't think any of us are missing meals. And we're a blessed people. We live in a very prosperous country. Most of us have family, and if we don't have blood-related family, we have a family within these four walls. And we're close, and we're a chosen generation. It's enough just the fact that we know the gospel. That's a blessing in and of itself, that we know the truth, that we know truth, that we follow truth, that we come into this place a couple times a week just to hear what saith the Lord. That's enough blessing. If he never did anything else for us, that's enough blessing. And we know how our Savior comes, robes himself in flesh, and he grows to the cross, and with death, burial, and ultimately the resurrection. And through his blood, we're cleansed from a sinful life. Mankind in all is in a fallen state, and without his blood, there is no remission of sins. And we've heard it all before. But I think it's worthy of talking about again. Without the blood of Jesus, there is no remission of sins. So the fact that he came and he died for us, for you and for me, shows us just how much that he loves us. And when we begin to examine the life of Jesus Christ, we can see that he experienced everything that we experience today. He went through temptations. And he went through low points and high points, and he struggled, and he lived a life just like we do today. The only difference is he was without sin. And it's a testament to the Creator that He was willing to robe Himself in flesh and to lower Himself to such a point where He was vulnerable, to lower Himself to a point where He bared everything that mankind bears. So when you pray to Him, you understand that He's been where you're at. Maybe not in the exact specific location, but He's experienced everything that you and I experience today. And He loved us enough that He was willing to live that life, and He was willing to lower Himself and put restraints on Himself. Could you imagine? The Creator of the universe, the One that hung the stars, He puts Himself in a position of a man. Very minute, insignificant position, a very vulnerable position. But He's willing to go there just because He loves us. And He comes down, and although He's a great Creator and He's all-powerful, He never forsakes His relationship with us. And I think that that's just amazing. The One who created everything that we see around us is willing to have a relationship with us. And we're given a promise, many promises. And we're given promises of rewards. And we can read all about them. We can read about them in Matthew 5. We can read about them all throughout Scripture. We have a promise, and the greatest promise of all is we have a promise of one day there will be no more tears. One day there will be no more hurt, no more pain. We're given a promise from heaven, a promise of heaven, that one day we can be there with Him in paradise. And we're given these promises, and it sounds really good when we first hear it. It does. And there's no other promise, no other promises like the promises that we get from God, because we know that the promises that we get from God, they will always come to pass. But what sometimes we forget is we forget that although we're given the promise, we still have to go through the process of that promise. See, we're given a promise of eternity with Him when it's all done, when we finished our course here. We're given a promise to be with Him. No more pain, no more tears, no more hurts, no more ups and downs. We're given a promise of paradise with Him. But first, we have to finish our course. Matthew 5 and 12 says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which are before you." So we're given a promise from heaven. But the second part of that verse, "For so persecuted the prophets which were before you." So we're given this promise of heaven, but it doesn't go unsaid that we will go through some things. In 1 Peter 2 and 9 through 13 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had obtained mercy, but now have, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conservation honest among you, among the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers. They may be your good works, which they shall behold. Glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as a supreme." So we can read all throughout Scripture this promise, and it's an unfolding story. From the very beginning, we see the fall of humanity, and then we see Jesus come in to save humanity. But there are some stipulations with the salvation of humanity. You have to be baptized in Jesus' name. You have to repent of your sins. And you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost, evidence speaking in other tongues. Without these three things, there is no eternal life. Without these stipulations met, we cannot count on the promise of heaven one day. And we live a life. I want to live a life that's just not just obedient to God, but I want to live a life where I'm pleasing to Him. There's a difference in being just obedient and being pleasing. See, you can listen to whatever Scripture has to say, but if your heart's not in it, you're not pleasing to God. That's Jesus' big problem with the Pharisees. They looked beautiful on the outside. Just what God had intended. They looked beautiful on the outside. But they begin to look for loopholes to satisfy their fleshly desires. And their heart was far from Scripture. Their heart was far from the law. They were willing to do it on the outside. I feel something right there. They were willing to do it on the outside, but with their heart not in it, they were not pleasing to God. Oh, but we have to be pleasing to Him. I want to be pleasing to Him. When God looks down upon me, I want Him to smile and say, yeah, He's mine. When God looks down from heaven, I want Him to be satisfied with my walk, my relationship with Him. I don't want to just be obedient, but I want to be pleasing to Him. I want to be the example that He wants me to be. I don't want to be like this world. I want to be what He wants me to be. But in order for me to get there, there's some things that we have to go through. And we've heard many messages about trials and tests, and I would say the majority of them are about trials and tests. But when you go through the fire, there's another element of than just the fire. There's a smoke. See, in Psalms 119, it reads, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." So what is the psalmist talking about in this portion of Scripture? This is a psalm of David. And the bottle, what he's referring to when he says a bottle in the smoke, he's referring to a wineskin. And a wineskin is the skin of an animal that holds wine. Pretty self-explanatory. But the problem is if the wineskin gets too close to the fire and the smoke gets a hold of that wineskin, the smoke gets in the pores of the skin and it dries it out. And it eventually will crack and it'll be no good and you cannot repair it. And also the smoke will get in the pores and everything that you pour out of the wineskin will taste like smoke. So you can picture David here. "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes." So we go through the fire multiple times throughout our walk with God. Sometimes we go through big battles, sometimes they're small battles. But every one of them is a battle. And I'm here to preach to you tonight. And if I'm not preaching to anybody else, I'm preaching to myself. When you go through the fire and the trial's done, the hurt's done, don't lay around in the smoke. Once you get through the fire, don't just roll over and give the devil your belly. Get out of the smoke. It's just as dangerous in the smoke as it is the fire. You know, do you understand that people in house fires, the fire is the least of their concerns. It's the smoke. They can't breathe in the smoke. What does the smoke play? So smoke, it causes dizziness, impaired judgment, headaches, nausea, fatigue, unconsciousness, respiratory arrest, cardiac arrest, and eventually death. This is all from the smoke. See, you've already made it through the fire. Don't lay around in the smoke. You've already made it through the big, heavy part, the part that God's trying to get you through. Don't lay around in the aftermath. If you fall, get back up. If you fail the test, get back up. You're through the test. Don't lay around in the smoke. God has bigger plans for you than for you to lay around in the smoke. Don't quit walking around defeated. You are not defeated. If God be for you, then who could be against you? I don't care where you've been or where you come from. Don't lay around in the smoke. Get up. You're victorious. You're walking a lot. Oh, hallelujah. You're walking with God. If God be for you, then who can be against you? I'm here to preach to somebody tonight. That trial, that test that you just went through. Don't let the smoke get you. You've already made it through. Don't let the aftermath get you. You've already made it through the test. Quit laying around feeling sorry for yourself. Get up. Pick up your cross and follow Him. You've already made it through. I wish somebody would hear me tonight. You've already made it through the trial. Get up. Get up. Don't lay around in the smoke. There's a bigger plan for you. There's a purpose for you. We go through things. Sometimes big and sometimes small. And sometimes we know that we failed. And there's even sometimes that we don't even feel worthy enough to come back to Him. We feel lousy as a person, and He's already forgiven us, but we can't even forgive ourselves. And you can get to a place of where you feel so sorry for yourself that you won't even get up and get out of that mess. The trial's already done. All the problem is over. But what you feel down inside, that's the smoke. And the devil would love nothing more than for you to just lay around in that and feel miserable. The devil would love for you to just stay right there where you're at, defeated. But I'm here to tell you that God has something bigger for you than that. You've already made it through the fire. Don't get caught up in the smoke. There's danger in the smoke. You can lay around in the smoke so long to where you become almost warped, almost stained with that. You can get to a point of where you can't get over what happened. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I can feel it in this place. You can get to a place of where you just won't let it go. And God's trying to get you somewhere else. He's trying to get you to the next level. But you just can't let it go. And He can't take you there until you let it go. It may have been a church breakup. Let it go. You're already through it. Quit laying around in the smoke. It could have been a failed marriage. It could have brought you down. And you can look at yourself as a failure. But you're done with it. Let it go. There's danger in the smoke. You're doing more harm to yourself by just laying there than to get up and to follow Him. We can see a perfect example in Scripture for this. And it's in 2 Samuel, I believe. We can see the life of David. And we know how it goes, and we were actually just talking about it a few weeks ago in Hyphen, about David's affair with Bathsheba. And David even goes to the point of sending Uriah out on the front lines to have him killed so that he can have his wife. And We can see this major failure by David. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, it reads like this, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said, There are two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him." It says, "And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." And then Nathan, he drops the bomb right here. He says, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, I would moreover have given it unto thee such and such things. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them to thy neighbor, and yet shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son." So we're all familiar with this story. David, he looks out his window and he sees Bathsheba and he desires her. And even though David, he was a king and he had anything that he wanted, he wanted something that he couldn't have. So he goes ahead and he knows it's wrong, but he wants it. So he goes ahead and he has an affair with Bathsheba. He calls her in and he sends to have her come in, and he lies with her, and then he tries to cover it up. He tries to cover up his failure, and he tries to get Uriah to lay with his wife, and he wouldn't do it. He was so faithful to David that he laid outside his door. So when David saw that that wasn't working, he sent unto Joab, and he said, "Put Uriah on the front line in the heat of the battle, where he'll surely die." Says, put him on the front line and then retreat. Leave him out there. So he did just that. And Uriah dies, and David takes the wife of Uriah, and Bathsheba conceives, and there's a child, and David is confronted by Nathan about what he had done. And I think it's kind of funny that when Nathan was explaining the story, that David didn't even realize that he was talking about him. But when David messes up and when David fails, he really drops the ball here. Many times we really drop the ball. There's times that we know it's wrong, but we go ahead and do it anyway just to satisfy that temporary feeling. And if that is to happen, there's a danger in you beating yourself up to the point of where you can't get back. And I'm here to preach to somebody tonight a little bit about that. You can get to the point of where you can't forgive yourself. But as this story with David unfolds and he's confronted, David realizes just how bad he messed up. And he feels horrible about it. And he recognizes his sin, and that's just what you have to do in that situation. You have to recognize that you failed. But the interesting thing is, when David was confronted, he could have denied it. But he didn't. He came clean. That's the only way that you can get through what you're going through, is just recognize that you messed up. But he messes up, and the child that Bathsheba conceives, it's prophesied that the child's going to die. The child's sick. So David, he fasts and he prays and he puts on sackcloth and he's begging the Lord not to take his child. But he goes ahead and does it anyway. And within David's mess up, we can see, and I'm not going to go there tonight, but we can see more things unfold that comes from his mess up. There's more consequences that David will have to pay. But what I'm focusing on here with David tonight is how he reacted to his situation. Even though David made the conscious decision to take the wife of Uriah, and he knew that he was going to fail, and he did it anyway. He recognized his sin, and he got over it. He asked forgiveness from the Lord, and he forgave himself, and he got over it. And you can, now knowing this with David, you can read this psalm a little bit. A little bit more context. It says, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes." David's saying, I feel so terrible. I feel so worthless. But I don't forget your statutes. I still remember you, God. I remember what you said to me. So I encourage somebody tonight to take the path that David did. And through a mess up, through a fire, through a test, a trial, don't lay around and feel sorry for yourself. You have to get out of it. There's so much more that can happen. There's so much more that God wants to show you. He wants to take you places. But you can never get to that point if you don't ever get out of the smoke. You can get to a point of where that's what your world revolves around. How bad you messed up. You can get to a point of that's all that you think about is just how bad you messed up. You can get so hurt and so calloused that you can never get back to the Lord again. You won't allow yourself to. But you have promises from God. You have a promise of eternity. And I'm here to tell somebody that you're going to miss out on it if you don't forgive yourself. You're going to miss out on it if you don't get out of the smoke. You've went through the trial. You've went through the test. Get out of the smoke. I'm preaching to somebody that may have dropped the ball a couple times. But he still loves you. Quit beating yourself up over it. Forgive yourself. Get out of the smoke. Get out of the smoke before it's too late. I'm coming to a close if musicians could come. It's not the will of God that anybody lays around defeated. It's not the will of God that you beat yourself up to the point of where you can't get back to where you were. It's not the will of God that you just fade off into the sunset. It's not the will of God that you just fizzle out. Well, I did this and I did that. There's no way that God could forgive me. Yes, he can. You're hurting God more by just staying back there and walling around in your own misery than you are by coming back to him. There's some of you that have been preachers, but you're living in a past. You're living in a past that God wants to pull you out of, but you can't even pull yourself out of. You can't even forgive yourself. You can't even forgive the people around you that got you in that mess. Quit walking around defeated. You're not defeated. The only one that tells you you're defeated is you. You have victory in Him. Quit walking around defeated. Jesus. Feel the presence of the Lord if you'll stand with me. He wants to do something for you, but you have to get out of the smoke. Quit living in past failures of tests and trials that God's put in your life. That you've dropped the ball. Quit living in that mess. Quit living in church hurt. Quit living in a failed marriage. Quit living in the... Oh, hallelujah. Quit living in the aftermath of a past addiction. You're through it. Get up. Get up. Get out of the smoke. Micah chapter 7, verse 8, it reads like this. It says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness." I can't help what you went through, but you can hurt yourself by not getting out of it. I don't know where you came from, and I may have never walked a mile in your shoes. But he knows. I may have never went through church hurt. I may have never fallen severely. I may not know where you're at, but I'm here to tell you from God, I can't give you anything in my own, from my man, my own self. I can't bring anything to you to bless your soul in my flesh. But I can tell you what saith the Lord. There's somebody in here that's walking around defeated. There's somebody in this place that went through something maybe 20 years ago. And you still can't get over just what happened to you. You still can't get over, oh, just how bad it was. You don't understand. You don't understand how bad it was. But he does. He does. He does. He does. He knows. He knows. He knows. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. I don't know what you went through. I may have never been in your shoes, but he knows. He knows. Get out of the smoke. The trial's done. The test is over. Get out of the smoke. Quit living in it. You owe it to yourself. Get out of that mess. Quit letting your life revolve around it. This altar's open. If you feel that you need to come, please come. I encourage you to come. I just read to you in Micah about how you can rise again. It's worth it. It's worth it. You're doing nothing for yourself just laying around in your own misery. You're doing nothing for yourself laying around in your past. You're doing nothing for yourself by laying around in your failure. You're doing nothing for yourself by not getting over what happened to you. You're doing nothing for yourself. What you're doing is you're letting the devil win. God has so much more for you than for you to just lay around defeated. He has so much more for you than for you to walk around with your head hung. I can't get back to Him. Yes, you can. You can get back to Him. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Get out of the smoke. Get out of the smoke. I'm going to read Micah one more time and then I'm going to hand it back over. Rejoice not against me, oh, mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, maybe someone's in here, they're sitting around in a mess and they don't even know where to begin to start picking up the pieces again. Their life is shattered. Everything that they worked so hard for, it's just falling apart. Maybe there's somebody in this place that's like that. Maybe you just don't even know where to start to get back to Him. You've gone so far. You've let Him win so much and you can't forgive yourself for what happened. You can't forgive them for what they've done to you. Your life isn't just, it's just in shambles and it's on the floor and you don't even know where to start to pick it back up again. You've lived a life so hard working. Oh, just trying to be pleasing to Him. And you may have lived a life like that for 50 years. And then one day you just drop the ball and it's big. And you don't even know where to go. You don't even know where to start. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place today. Oh, but it says, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. There's not a man in this world that can help you with your problems. There's not a person in this world that can help you with your problems. But there's a God that loves you more than you can even imagine, more than you can wrap your mind around. And when you sit in darkness, He'll be your light. Says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him. See, that was David's first part in getting through what he had done. He had to realize that he had sinned against the Lord. Says, until He plead my cause. You have someone to plead your cause today. Jesus Christ, plead your cause way back on Calvary. Don't let what He done on Calvary go in vain because you can't forgive yourself. Don't let what happened on Calvary go in vain because you can't get through something that happened to you. It says, and execute judgment for me, for He will bring me forth to the light. And I will behold His righteousness. He has so much for you. There's so much in store for you. You can't afford to lay around in the smoke anymore. If I'm talking to you, you can't afford it. Listen to me. You can't afford to lay around in it anymore. You can't let yourself just go by the wayside because you can't get over something that happened. Because you can't get over something that went on in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Ghost. This altar's open. Get out of the smoke. You don't have to stay in it. You're doing more damage to yourself. You're letting the devil win. There's people in here that's went through some pretty grievous things. There's parents in here that's lost children. There's people in here that's went through divorces. There's all kinds of certain different circumstances. There's all kinds of different things that people have went through in this place. And there's people that's fallen from from being preachers and pastors and they're still laying around in what happened, thinking about what could have been. I can't help you with what happened, but I can help you with where you can go. You're losing time by laying around in your past mistakes. You know, Scripture says that He casts it as far as the east is from the west, to never be remembered again in a sea of forgetfulness. If our God can do that for us, what makes you think that anybody else can tell us different? The only person stopping you is you. And tonight you can leave here with a brand new walk. You could come to this altar tonight and you can forget everything that has happened to you in your life. And it's not like drugs or alcohol where it's temporary and then you have to go get a fix again. But what He has to offer you is eternal. It's much deeper than something temporal. It's so much better. Quit laying around in the smoke. Quit laying around in the smoke. Get up. Follow Him.